Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm here today with our Chair, Emmanuel Faber. And we're here in snowy Montreal, recording this podcast at the end of our February board week. We've had a really busy week here. In addition to the board meeting, we've also been engaging with stakeholders. So we had our Sustainability Standards Advisory Forum meeting with our jurisdictional representatives earlier in the week, where we talked about where we are in the progress of adoption of our standards, talked about the proposals to adjust our due process handbook, and also discussed a number of our projects. So it was a great opportunity to engage and get some feedback. And we also took the opportunity of being here to have a social interaction with the Canadian Sustainability Standards Board, who of course finalised their standards, which are very aligned with the ISSB standards just back in December. So in the podcast today, we're going to be discussing our capacity building work with the GMC network of IOSCO, give a little bit of an update on the status of adoption of our standards by jurisdictions, and then, of course, talk about what we were discussing at this week's board week. So with that, Emmanuel, we've been working with the Growth and Emerging Markets Committee, the GMC of IOSCO, since the launch of that network back in December. Perhaps you could tell us a bit more about that.
Sure. Thank you, Sue. And before all of that, welcome everyone to the Dog and Pony Show of the ISSB monthly here. We're in Montreal. Sue indeed mentioned this great casual breakfast and coffee that we had with our colleagues of the CSSB, and she would be, too worried. But I will share that one of our colleagues said, meeting with you, oh, now I recognize you by your voice because I hear you in the podcast. So this is an encouragement for us to continue. And by the way, talking about celebrities, just to say that we also had a birthday cake for Elizabeth Seeger with no one else than Patrick de Combourg coming with us to sing a double materiality nice core of happy birthday, Elizabeth. So thanks, Patrick, for doing this. That was great to see you here. Anyway, back to work. And yes, we indeed had engagement with the Growth and Emerging Markets Committee Network for Adoption or the Use of the ISSB Standards that was launched in Ankara in December 2024. This network has been there because there was an increasing number of jurisdictions that, without having made a decision of adopting or using the standards, are considering their approach to that, given the number of their neighbors, countries and jurisdictions doing that and in a growing way. So in order to ensure that this would be done properly with as aligned as possible language and standard setting to create this global and comparable framework that IOSCO has been called for action about is, the creation of this network is important by the GMC. And last month, the GMC in January held a two-day technical training and capacity-building workshop in Hungary, exploring jurisdictional consideration for adopting the standards. And attendees from jurisdictions including Hungary, Switzerland, Turkey, Albania, Georgia were there. In this group, there is in total 31 jurisdictions in considering their adoption. And of course, those critically important aspects of proportionality and interoperability have been discussed in Hungary as they had been in Ankara first. We ensured that we would support this capacity building effort by sending our staff to share insights and educational material, and we look forward to further collaboration in the future. And sure, on that note, perhaps we can give a small update on recent jurisdictional developments.
Sure. So we now have 35 jurisdictions on the journey that represent about 60% of global GDP. And recently we've had Mexico, who have issued their final regulation, and Panama is the latest jurisdiction that's consulting on the adoption of the ISSB standards. So really good progress. And Emmanuel, perhaps you could share the news from Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. Breaking news last week. From our colleagues of the SSBJ, the Japanese Standard Setter, that they approved the issuance of the SSBJ standards final, which are aligned to IFRS S1 and IFRS S2. They will be available in early March. And I would like just to express my gratitude both to our colleagues at the SSBJ and of course the FSA Japan for their continued engagement. I remember that this date of March 25 had been already shared a long time ago, and I think that our Japanese colleagues were able to meet that deadline is creating a lot of credibility and visibility to the market. The other side of the planet, just maybe let me share very briefly that, of course, we are following closely the developments in Europe with the omnibus for simplification of a number of regulatory aspects of in the EU that may also impact the CSRD implementation. And we are, of course, standing ready just to support that, any simplification would still be made in a manner that EU will continue to participate. And as they had taken the lead in sustainability reporting, that they would continue to participate in this important movement as investors in particular continue to be really looking for that type of information.
So next, Board Week. So the first thing we discussed was our biodiversity project, and we had a presentation from the Task Force on Nature-Related Financial Disclosures, or the TNFD. Perhaps, Emmanuel, you could tell us about those discussions.
Yeah, I mean, this is being probably the third time nearly in a row that we have been given papers by our staff that progressively go into the four principles and explore the four pillars of our research. And this time was a really interesting exploration of the landscape of existing standards and frameworks, including, of course, the ones that we have consolidated, like the CDSB, for instance. We ask ourselves questions such as, will building on CDSB and TNFD would be sufficient for investors? We discussed interoperability between our standards in the future, but also, of course, about GRI and ESRS, ensuring that we would reduce the cost of reporting and the comparability. Thank you for the leadership of TNFD for attending our board session. They gave us an overview of their recommendations and additional guidance. And we really had an interesting, with very diverse perspective expressed by board members around the table about that work, which I personally felt was very positive in bringing us to the next stage of understanding how TNFD can be part of our standard setting phase if we ever get there after the first phase of research on BEAST. Beyond BEAST this week, we also discuss our human capital project. And in particular, we heard about that particular phase, which is about the evidence of investors' interest in this disclosure topic.
Yeah, so like the Nature or the BEAST project, we've been having a series of updates essentially from the staff about the research that they're doing into this area. And this time we heard evidence of investor interest in human capital related disclosures, and also information about the evidence of the effects of human capital related risks and opportunities on an entity's prospects. So the staff have been talking to many investors and researching articles, research as well, and this showed that investors of all types and all jurisdictions around the world expressed really strong interest in understanding information about human capital related risks and opportunities. There's quite a lot of diversity in terms of, the different views and the different ways these risks and opportunities manifest in different parts of the world. But the three main areas that were identified as being of interest to investors are diversity and inclusion, health, safety and well-being, and working conditions and exploitation. There's a lot of other things, but I think those were some of the core ones. And so this really sets the foundations for the next level, where I think the staff will bring together all of the different strands of the work they've been doing on nature and human capital to enable us to start making decisions in terms of what the next steps are, including what standard setting we might do. So that was a really interesting discussion. The other thing that we talked about this week was actually in a joint board session between us and our sister board, the IASB, our second only ever joint board session, so still a very, very special moment. And of course for me, having been a former member of the IASB, always special to be back at the table with my friends and colleagues there. And the opportunity for getting together this time was for us to both hear feedback they've got from their respondents on an exposure draft they published earlier, last year now, on climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements. So why were we at the table? The clue's probably in the name, climate-related. So we were considering the implications of feedback from their project on where we might work together, the sort of connectivity-related activities, and also the feedback that we have each received in terms of how companies could strengthen the connections between the information provided in financial statements and the information provided in sustainability-related financial disclosures about climate, but also other sustainability risks, to make sure the package of information works well together. So it was a really interesting conversation and an important series of papers. I think everybody was very engaged. I found it interesting, and it really did, I think, reinforce the importance of us working closely together on these sorts of projects. And so in terms of looking forward, we're going to continue to have joint sessions with the IASB when it's relevant for each of the boards based on the work that we're doing, where, of course, connectivity, the way in which our respective standards work together, but also how the package of information works well together for investors is really at the heart of what we're both thinking about to make sure that really works well for companies using the standards and investors consuming the information. So much more to come, I think, in the future on that connectivity front.
Thank you, Sue. And I think that concluded, as you said in the introduction, a very exciting and very complete week here in snowy and sunny Montreal. That was a great meeting. Thanks, everyone here in our office, our teams, to welcome us in this in these offices. Next month, we will meet virtually, so it's going to be another experience, not the first time for us, sitting in our respective offices and places. If you liked the voice of our Vice Chair, Sue Lloyd, you have another chance next month, so stay with us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.